Good evening. It is great to see everybody here, and I appreciate this opportunity to talk to you. I'm just going to get this mic on really quick, and we'll get started. For some of you, this might actually be, you might have already heard this one, especially if you were in Trona in February. But Lori thought this was good enough for me to talk to you all about again, so I'm going to re-preach something I've already preached. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 4. I'm going to start in verse 18 and read a couple verses. Matthew 4, starting verse 18, says, "While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' Immediately they left their nets and followed him." Most people would talk about spreading the gospel from this point on, but I'm not going to go that direction. What I want to say is that at one point, everyone here, everyone in this building right now, either is a fish or was a fish. The gospel is being preached to them or was preached to them, and they responded, and you are here today sitting and listening to the sermon. So the church is a lot like a fishbowl. Well, I'm going to tell you a really horrible story about my wife. She was at a carnival when she was in college, and she was playing one of those games where you win prizes, and there was lots of stuffed animals around, and she really thought she was going to win one of those stuffed animals, but it was that game with the ping pong ball, and you throw it into the little jar with the fish in it. So she threw the ping pong ball, it landed in there, and the guy behind the booth grabbed the jar, dumped the fish in a bag, and gave it to her. So she really didn't want this fish to begin with, but she did name it. She named it tuna. And she had tuna for 4 or 5 months, and she decided, hey, I really don't want this fish anymore, so she stopped feeding it. And that fish, it lasted a day. Lasted 2 days, it lasted a week, it lasted a whole month without eating. She finally felt guilty, but not because she was starving the fish, but because the fish's water stunk. So she started to feed the fish. She took the normal amount, she gave it to the fish, and tuna promptly died. What does this have to do with anything? Matthew 5, 6 says, "Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Are we being fed? Or are we just floating here, filling a seat? Philippians 2. Starting in verse 12, it says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Paul wrote this from prison. He wrote this to a church, Philippi, that a church that he had planted in Acts 16. He was very close friends with these people, I'm sure. He's very concerned with what's going on. He doesn't know if he's going to live or if he's going to die, but he wants them to succeed. He wants these people to pull together and fill their hunger for righteousness. They have to work together to fulfill the will of God. So what does this look like? What does it look like to work out your own salvation? This congregation is filled with men that are willing to serve. But we just can't depend on them. Our salvation is not just in their hands. We all have to seek God's righteousness. We all have to help each other seek out God's righteousness. Tuna lived for a month without eating. But suddenly there was food. He ate, and it was too late. He died. There is not a lot a goldfish can do in its bowl to feed itself. There is so much that you can do as a Christian to feed yourself. You know, I'm not going to go into everything that you can do, but we need to remember Ephesians 2:10 that says that we were designed to do good works. Those works might be as simple as helping a brother get to church, or they might be as powerful as praying for a sister that's sick. What are you doing? Are you working out your own salvation? Are you helping those around you get salvation? When I was in kindergarten, it might have been first grade, my family got our first aquarium. It was a 20-gallon aquarium. We had white gravel in the bottom, and there was cheap plastic plants all over. We had this big hunk of coral in there. And we had all kinds of fish. We had mollies and guppies and swordfish, and we even had algae eaters. My parents taught me how to feed those fish, and I even named all those fish. They were my friends. I loved those fish. Suddenly, fish started disappearing. Little Billy and Sorty, they just disappeared. It was like fish aliens were abducting my fish. They were there one day and gone the next. It was very, very strange. You know, I've seen this happen in the church. And I'm not talking about the people that move away for jobs or move away for some purpose. I'm talking about the people that were there one day and they're suddenly gone the next. The easiest thing in the world is to blame those people. We say this all the time, that their sinful friends pulled them away, their lifestyle pulled them away, they weren't grounded firmly enough in the faith, or maybe they just never were really Christians anyways. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 21. The eye cannot say to its hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. When I hurt my foot, I don't blame my foot. I look for the problem and I fix it. If there's a splinter, I pull it out. If there's a cancer, I go through chemotherapy. The whole body suffers, but I save the foot. Lori has inflammatory arthritis. She has been on a medicine for months that makes her sick. She's constantly sick. But she takes that medicine and is just now starting to work to help prevent joint pain, to save the body. Are we willing to go the limit? Are we willing to suffer a little to make the whole body whole? You know, as a kid, though, aliens were clearly abducting my fish. What was really happening was that my fish were dying and my parents were sneaking them out of the aquarium and flushing them down the toilet. But it turns out there was nothing really wrong with those fish. What was wrong was that giant piece of saltwater coral in our freshwater tank. These fish, they weren't designed to be with that coral, so they were impaling themselves on the coral and dying. When people start disappearing in the church, we need to examine the tank. We need to examine the church before we jump to the conclusion about why someone is no longer around. In 1 Timothy, Paul warns Timothy about false teachers. In chapter 4, Paul says that people will depart and follow after their deceitful spirits. Paul gives this solution to the problem in 1 Timothy 4, 11 through 16. Command to teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to public reading of scriptures, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given by the prophecy when the council of elders laid their hand on you. Practice these things, immerse yourselves in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teachings. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. If there is an issue in the church, we have to be more vigilant about the things we say and about the things we do, because we will save both ourselves and the people around us. We may have to seek people out that have left and find out what the issues are. It may be difficult, it may be hard, it may hurt, but the body is worth it. When I was in high school, I had 4 aquariums in my room. I was a loner, so maybe the fish were my friends, I don't know. But I kept these aggressive fish. They were just really interesting to me. And you couldn't keep any of them together. One of my aquariums was actually just their food. It was guppies and goldfish, and I would scoop these up and toss them into the tank, and the bigger fish would just go up there and gobble them up. I had to start that separate food tank soon after I started keeping these fish, because the first time I bought some feeder fish and put them in with my, I had a large catfish. I put them in with the catfish, and all of them were gone in like 2 minutes. That fish was very bloated. It almost died. I started out in Matthew 4:18 through 20, Jesus making Peter and Andrew fishers of men. We are all little fish at one time. How would you like to have been scooped up out of the world and put into an aquarium where you were devoured in 2 minutes? Let's look at 1 John. Chapter 4, starting in verse 19, says, "We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he does not love his brother, whom he has not seen. Let me start over. 19. "We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother." There are tons and tons of little fish out there that we just don't even bother with. They're friends, they're family members, they're acquaintances. We talk to them about Christ, but as soon as it gets difficult or hard or inconvenient, we just give up on them. We make the decision that they are not worth sharing our aquarium with. In Romans 5, starting in verse 6, it says, For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for the righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We have put on Christ. We need to be imitators of Christ. We need to love all of mankind. We are all little fish. We all need Jesus. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Turn over to John 15 real quick. John 15, starting verse 12. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friend. You are my friend if you do what I command you." In the same breath that Jesus commands us to love others, he says, "Greater love has no man than he lay down his life for his friends. If you love me, keep my commandments." This love that Jesus is talking about is the kind of love that leads people to die for others. This is the same love that Christ showed us on the cross. Keeping his commandments puts our life second, and those that he commanded us to love first. People are difficult to deal with. But guess what? We're all people. We are all difficult to deal with. Lori, she didn't want tuna. She decided that she would just stop feeding him, and he died. My catfish that ate all of those guppies, his name was actually Lunch. He was a really rare fish. I think I paid, well over $20, a lot of money for a high school kid. The first time I fed it, I almost killed it. I was really, really upset. That's when I decided that I had to treat it differently. I separated it out, I put it on a special diet, I watched it carefully. The difference between these two fish is the value that we're put into them. Is there a difference in your value and the other human beings on this planet? Jesus died for everyone. He paid the price for everyone. Because I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God does not give me more value than a person that does not believe that. It simply means that I get the reward that was promised. Jesus still died for people that don't believe. While we were still enemies, God sent his Son to die for us. I knew this guy. He had this giant Oscar. An Oscar is a big cichlid fish that they're super smart. And he had a giant goldfish that lived with it. These fish seriously would play with each other. They would just be swimming along, and one would bite the other one's tail, and they would chase each other for a little while. It was pretty interesting to see, as far as fish go. But that tiny goldfish, that big goldfish started as a tiny goldfish, and it was actually supposed to be food for the bigger fish. Somehow it worked out that these two animals became friends, but not just for a day, not just for a week, but for years and years. And that allowed that little goldfish to become the same size as that other fish. God wants us all to be part of his church, to be part of his kingdom. He has sent his Son to die for us, for everyone, to die for the people that are his enemies. He wants us to be part of him. Turn with me to Galatians 3. Galatians 3, starting verse 26, says, "For in Christ Jesus, you're all sons of God through faith. For as many of you who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, and for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring and heirs according to his promise." When we put on Christ in baptism, the divisions that separate us disappear. We all become heirs according to the promise. We all get the reward that God has promised those that seek him. If you have not put on Christ on baptism, you will not receive the promise. You will not receive the reward. Right now is the time to fix that. Right now is the time to be baptized and to get that promise. If you have just been floating there, not really doing anything, there's not much a goldfish can do by itself to feed itself inside of its bowl. That's why the church is here. We're here to help you, to get you back on track, to get you back seeking God's righteousness. Now's the time. Come forward. We'll pray for you. We'll help you. We'll baptize you if you want it. Come forward as we stand and sing.